Sunday, the 14th of October, Abanach Olawek, gratitude.
Before beginning our subject per se, which I believe when I'm given the choice to pick a subject, this is the subject that I pick, I want to give a brief introduction. Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he makes a comment. It's brought down, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. But there's a problem. People might make a mistake and think that there's more than one creator. So no, we are taught the reason Hashem said Na'aseh Adam was to teach us anova, to teach us humility, to consult with those who are seemingly smaller than us. So the question is, in order to teach someone anova, you take such a big chance? So Rav Shach, the Chaim Livracha, said that once a person is an anov, he's not going to be an apikaris. But if he'll learn that lesson, so then we're not taking any chance at all. This is the primacy of good character. The root to hashkofa. The root to ben adam l'chavero, ben adam l'mokam, ben adam l'ma'atzmi, to all of the areas of life, is good character. I just want to give some very brief examples of this. The very first time in the Torah that we find a negative comment is when Adam said, "The woman you gave me," and Rashi comments, he was ungrateful. He was ungrateful. I mean, I would have said, you know, you talk back to God. That's like much worse than, no, it's the ingratitude. In last week's parsha, the tower that the Bnei Ha'adam had made, the children of man. So Rashi says, what, the children of monkeys? Which obviously Rashi was trying to preempt the evolutionists. But they're the children of the of man who was ungrateful. They had been saved from the flood. So the problem with them was they were ungrateful. Or, Hinei Am She'arevu, they're a stiff-necked people. I mean, they had just made a golden calf. The problem that Hashem found with them was the stubbornness. Pachas Kamayim. When Reuven was faulted by his father, he was not faulted by an act, because of an act that he did. Rashi says over there, pachas is a noun. Pachas means you are hasty. It's an act. Pachas, hasty. So Rashi points out it's a noun. What's the trap? It's not the problem with a specific act that was done. It was the need that empowered the act. Rabbi Lopian says that he gives an example of two people who were caught on counterfeiting charges. One was discovered with money, and he was given 5 years. Another was given 20 years. They found no money on him. They found him with the printing press. An avera, a misdeed, is a counterfeit bill. The need that powers it is the printing press. We find that there's a basic difference between how the human court judges a person and how the heavenly court judges a person. The human court judges the act. Did you do this or didn't you do it? Whether you're a fine chap, and Eliyahu HaNavi will come and say that you've done tshuva, and he will also say that in 50 years you'll be the Gadol HaDor, the court is not able to overlook the fact of the technical needs there. There was witnesses, there was warning, the punishment is given irregardless of who you are. Because we judge the act, we can't judge the person. A human being can't judge a person. The heavenly court is the opposite. We don't judge the act, we judge the person. Who are you? What were your intentions? What's the big picture? This, I feel, is the reason that at 13, a person is a bar, or at 12, a bat mitzvah. They're expected to to know they're supposed to do this act. Tiner mitzvah, it's a candle. It's very local. This act, and that's all. At 20, the first time, it says a person becomes a ben Torah. A ben Torah is someone who's supposed to see the whole vista. Torah art. It's light. That's the Dini Shemayim. At 20, a person is held responsible in the heavenly court also. Why? Because he's supposed to see a big picture. So when we talk about character, we're talking about the very basic core of your humanity. When looking for shidduchim for my daughters, I first wanted to know, is he going to be nice to her? After that, we'll talk about any other points that may or may not be germane to this particular shidduch. But I first need to know, is he going to be nice to her? If that is not clear and as predictable as is possible, we don't go any further. Nothing else matters unless that is cleared up. That's my opinion. It's not a doctora. It's just a personal opinion from someone who's a father. So I want to talk about what I consider one of the most basic elements of human character, and that's gratitude. Now, there's a principle that there's a relationship between responsibility and control. The more control I have over something, the more responsible I am. I'm in London now. I've been here for a week. It's been very, very busy. I have no tension at all because I don't know where I am. In fact, I don't even know where I am now. I know I'm in the right place, yeah, because of last year, yeah, but I don't know where I am. People say to me, we're late. I say, you're late. I have no control. So I don't have responsibility. I have to make sure that if I'm going somewhere for breakfast, that the person knows where to go and what time I have to be there. But there's a direct responsibility between control and responsibility. As Rav Matasiel Solomon Shrita said, you cannot control the thoughts that come into your mind. But what you can control is what are you going to do with those thoughts. This is an extremely profound statement. I cannot prevent things from entering my mind very often. But what am I going to do with them? How am I going to react? So we're going to take a few moments to talk about what are the things that go on in my mind that will make me a more grateful person. Because that is in my control. Now I want to use as a basis, and you need to know this 6 months before, is the Haggadah. The Haggadah is, in my mind, a textbook on how to be a grateful person. There are three systems in the Haggadah. If we will learn them, we'll be more grateful. Our lives will be different. The first is, we begin with our lowly beginnings, whether it's a physically lowly beginning, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, or a spiritually lowly beginning, we were once idolaters. And then, now Hashem has brought us close to Him. Contrast. Appreciation of something is enhanced by contrast. One of the reasons for nighttime, Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, taught us. One of the functions of nighttime is to appreciate that. Nafshi LaHashem Mishoyim LaBoyker, Shoyim LaBoyker. My heart yearns for Hashem like those night watchmen yearn for the day. Sickness. I remember the first day after crutches. The ability to walk, it's a gift. And we often do not learn gratitude until we've been without it. The Chovas Avovah says that there are four levels to tshuva. In the sixth parak of Shara Tshuva, in the Chovas Avovah, he says, there are people who do tshuva through misfortune, and they come close to Hashem. And there are people who come close to Hashem when they see misfortune by someone else. There are people who are even higher and can abstract even more and do tshuva from the words of a tzaddik or a prophet. Words are enough. They don't even need a picture. But the highest level is when you do tshuva through good fortune. Most of us, when we have good fortune, Hashem is not on our screen. Rav Vogel once said, when do we see the brothers of Yaakov invoking Hashem's name? When we're getting into trouble. What has God done to us? So misfortune, sickness, is a harbinger, is a tool which allows us to be grateful. I once got into a car with someone, and he broke down crying, and he began to drive, and he started pounding the steering wheel. So it's dangerous to drive and pound the steering wheel at the same time. So I told him to pull over. And he pulled over. It turned out that his wife was in Hadassah Hospital. She was deathly ill from a infection which during childbirth had emerged. And they could not find which antibiotic would address that particular bacteria. And she was dying. Baruch Hashem, they caught it finally, basically at the precipice. I told him that either he can never sell the car, his automobile, or if he sells it, he has to sell it minus the steering wheel. He has to keep the steering wheel. Because the steering wheel is something which can remind them to appreciate his wife. You know, what's a sentimental object? A sentimental object is something in my present which I connect to the past. The past sometimes fades. But if I have an object in the present which is here, it's now, because emotion isn't present. So then I can pull it, then I can, you know, reach back to the past also. You can never sell the steering wheel. So one of the great tools, opportunities to learn gratitude is, like I tell boys getting married, to remember the bad old days. To remember before you found someone stupid willing to marry you. Yeah? You found someone who was actually trusting you with her life. Remember that. That's one mindset. Another mindset is detail. Kol ha-maver l'saper b'tiyas Mitzrayim harizem mishubach. L'saper comes from the word sapphire. Sapphire comes from the word l'saper. You know, English has many Hebrew roots, and maybe some of you are aware. As Rav Miller Zichron Livracha said, the word for orchard in Hebrew is paradise. It's the forerunner of the word paradise. Because Gan Eden was an orchard. So, a sapphire, you polish up the story of the Exodus. The word l'saper also comes from the word mispar. Mispar means a number. The more details, the better. When I do teacher training, so I devote a half hour, 40 minutes to teach teachers how to tell a story. A story is a very, very important tool for many reasons. First of all, it's experiential. A good story pulls a person into a certain reality. You're living it. Well, the more details that you will put into a story, the more alive it is. A writer, a good writer, will use many adjectives to describe a situation because it is easier to imagine. So l'saper means to say a number, many things, many details. L'hagid, to talk, to tell over, to relate, refers to details. The Malbim, the Vilna Gaon, L'hagid means to say details. the refugee from the battle came to tell Avram that his nephew had been captured. So the Malbim says, Lahagid means to say details, because if someone comes with news, is in captivity, where, how many, details. Without the details, you don't have anything. The word agadetah, the Gaon says, the part of the Talmud that pulls apart the details of the sukkim is called agadetah. Lahagid means to say details. Lahagid baboike chastecha. Do you know what the word boker means? You think it means morning. No. That's a secondary meaning. What does bikur chaylin mean? Means to visit the sick? The word for, in modern Hebrew, for criticism, criticalness, is bikoret. Bikoret is criticism. In Chumash, you have in Pash Kedoshim, bikoret tihia. Bikoret means an investigation. It's an investigation. When a detective comes to the scene of a crime, the criminal did not leave his fingerprints and telephone number prominently displayed on the wall. He's looking for a detail. It's an investigation. What time, from when, can you say Kriya Shema in the morning? Tana Kama says, when Tchelus will love him. When you're able to differentiate between blue and white. Or, no, maybe it's blue and green. You need more light for that. It has to be later in the day. Because morning is the time that you can look at details. Erev, evening, comes, the Ramban says, from Ma'arev, to mix. The less and less light there is, the more things converge and get mixed together. So Bikaret means an investigation. Boker means morning. What does Bikur Chaylin mean? Rav Hutna Zechayim Levracha said it means to investigate the sick. Rav Moshe Schwab Zechayim Levracha said over that he once came to London to visit a sick philanthropist who was in a London hospital. He sat there for a half hour and he said nothing. And he got up after a half hour and he left. And the person said it was his most comforting visit. Why? Because this person is in mourning over his health. When you go to a shiva call, Shem Shepetach, go to a shiva call, you're not supposed to speak. The function of a shiva call is to tell a person you are not alone in the world. There's someone here who cares about you, who cries with you, who feels with you. There's something to say. What are you going to say? There's nothing to say. But I'm here. Bikur Chaylin is the same thing. It means to investigate the sick. So Boker is when you say it's morning, it really means it's a time when you can start seeing details. Lahagid v'boker chastecha. In the morning, you're magid the chesed. You're supposed to say the details, to enumerate details. And you're supposed to do it in the morning, because the rest of the day is in context. Right? This morning we all said Birchas Hashaka. What's Birchas Hashaka? I thank Hashem for being able to walk, for being able to see, for being able to think, for being part of the Jewish people. Do you know what of course that is? I came in once to Heathrow. There was a misunderstanding. There was no one to fetch me or collect me. I asked a few people in this visit, what's the thing to fetch and collect? And no one really was able to tell me. So if someone here after this year can tell me the distance fetch and collect, so I'd be beholden to you. Because I learned some new words. I learned rotor 2 days ago, and subway. Subway is a place you walk underground. To an American, a subway is what you call a tube. So I'm learning English slowly. And I had to go to Bournemouth. I was coming to England for one day. And I came with $5. And they didn't pick me. There was a misunderstanding. No one came to collect me. A woman comes up to me who lives not far from here. There's a street called the Vale. I assume it's not far from here. Nothing's very far, you know. Yeah? And she says, what's the problem? And I told her. She says, not a problem. She gave me $180 for a minicab to Bournemouth. Mm-hmm. And rice cakes. And water. And a telephone card. And her telephone number. She never met me before. Now, I paid her back. In fact, I was put in her house when I came to a bar mitzvah 7 months later. That's where they put me up. It's interesting. Me, Tom, call Yisrael. It's good to be a Jew. We say thank you in the morning. We start our day by saying thank you, and we say details. If Hashem would not have told, if the Chazal would not have put that there, it would have been off our screen. It would not be able to make us happy, the fact that we could walk, because we wouldn't notice it anymore. The Vilna Gaon says, in Eretz Yisrael, when a person got married, he was asked the question, Matzah? I might say, Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. A good wife is past tense. I find a woman more bitter than death is present tense. Why? So he says, when you have bad fortune, you relive it every day. You don't get used to it. Good fortune, you forget about. It's part of my past. So we say every morning, Lahagid Baboika Chastecha, every morning we are taught to say thank you for these things. So the rest of my day is in context. But thoughts in the morning. Lahagi, you say details. It's better, many details as you can have. I tell people getting married. Your wife makes you a cup of coffee. She bothers to put in the amount of sugar you like, the amount of coffee you like, the amount of milk you like. She boils the water. It's complicated. Rav Miller Zechayin Levracha, I believe that after his passing, is permitted me to say who I learned it from. This is to tell us, don't say, you don't have to say it over in my name. He said, take an uncomplicated food on your plate. His example, I believe, was peas. Peas are uncomplicated. Now, many fine women can make peas complicated also. Yeah? But peas are peas. And think about how many people had to trouble themselves to get those peas to your plate. Starting with the guy who got up at 3 in the morning in Uganda to weed the field, to sow the field, to, well, I'm a city boy, to plow the field, to sow the field, etc., etc., etc. I have one child who was born in the United States. We got him out of there when he was 3 weeks old. Didn't help. He lives in the United States now. This is 30 years ago. And my wife told me, it's time to go. And we got onto the New England Thruway at 4 in the morning. Earlier, I thought I'd be alone on the road. No. These huge trucks barreling down the New England Thruway to Connecticut. Like, what were they doing? They were delivering cans of peas. That's what they were doing. As many details as you could imagine, people had to do things. To get those peas here, you'll be more grateful. When something is complicated, when something is detailed, stop and notice details. For instance, a shirt. Not my example. Rav Miller Zechayin Levracha taught us to notice our clothing. There's two buttons here. Did one of them evolve? Or it just happened to be put there as an oversight? There's a reason there's two buttons here. Sometimes they have buttons on the bottom of the shirt that are reserve buttons. Stop and appreciate the fact that I have two buttons here. I can make the sleeve tighter or looser as part of temperature. A pocket is an amazing invention. She taught us to stop and notice the details and feel a happiness. He told us once he had simcha from the fact that he could walk on a smooth piece of leather in his shoe. It's smooth. He had simcha from that. I spoke in Toronto. I came into a school. They remember the year before I had been there. This was the rabbi who spoke to them about wriggling toes. You wriggle your right toes, and you wriggle your left toes, and you pick up your right toes, and you pick up your left toes. It's furthest from your brain. And you're in complete control. Stop and have simcha from it. Stop and have simcha from it. You walk off an airplane. Now, sometimes people need wheelchairs. But in case you don't, why don't you feel the happiness that these people are not waiting for you? I had to use a wheelchair once. It's not fun. And that's the system in the Haggadah. The Haggadah, the climax of the Haggadah is Mishmas. Mishmas is a symphony of details. For the eyes and the mouth, Ilufinu Moli Shir Kayam. Ah, Al Akas Elif Alfe Alofim Ribe Revolvus. It's a very tiny fraction, one thousandth of a thousand of a 10,000. We couldn't tell you all the details. That's the crescendo of the Haggadah. The centerpiece of the Haggadah is Dayenu. For this, and for this, and for this, and for this. Rav Shlomo Brevda once said, we have a machlokes tanoim in the Haggadah. How many miracles were there at the Red Sea? It's an auction. One comes up with 150, one comes up with 200. What are they doing? The answer is that's the Mitzvah Halayla. To find as many details as you can, because then you'll be grateful. My Rebbe Zechayim Levachu, today is his yahrzeit. Rav Simcha Wasserman, he said, the Seder is a birthday party. We're saying, thank you, Rebbe Yisrael, a member of Klal Yisrael. So that's the second mindset of gratitude, is learn to notice details. Learn to notice them. The third mindset, and the final mindset that we're going to go into, is the idea that things are coming to me. Nothing is coming to me. Someone who comes to my shmuzin in Torah Or on Friday night told me once, the happiest day of his life, he had a collapsed lung. Baruch Hashem, only one lung was collapsed. And they rushed him to the hospital, and they stuck a tube in his lung, and they said, inhale. And he did. The lung did not inflate. And they said, do it again. And he did, and his lung inflated with air. He said, the happiness of breathing, He never hit that level again. Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski, Hashem avenge his blood, the last Mashgiach of Slobodka, says the Psuke de Zimra is a tour of all the worlds. The animal world, the whole world, the whole creation. What does it end with? Kol HaNeshama T'Haloka. I call Neshima Neshima T'Haloka. We praise God for every breath. Once you've toured all the world, now you're ready to be grateful for one breath. Coming to us. What's coming to us? What is coming to us? And again, the centerpiece of the Haggadah is Dayenu. It's enough for us. I don't need more than that. A lot of the trouble that we have today is we don't have enough yet. There's a street in the United States whose function is to make people unhappy. And that's called Madison Avenue. Did you taste that kind of ice cream yet? You haven't had that ice cream yet. You're losing out. You're incomplete. You're missing in life. Things are not coming to us. So to sum up, we have about 60 seconds, depending on what, less. Three mindsets. One is contrast. We have to remember the beard old days. I have an exercise to people, a beautiful exercise. Right before you bench, right before you say Birchas Hamazon, stop and remember that 15 minutes ago you were hungry. It's no fun to be hungry. Stop before you say the first bracha. That's all. It's a simple exercise. It's kind of. The second is detail. Try and habituate yourself to notice details. To appreciate and savor each detail. And third, to understand that there's nothing in life that's coming to me. When I understand that, I'll be grateful. And Rav Miller Zechayim Levracha has a chiddush. Gratitude does not come from luxuries. Because if it comes only from luxury, so after a while it's not a luxury anymore. It becomes a necessity. So I'm not grateful anymore. Gratitude comes from necessities. When I'm grateful for necessity, so then everything, I'm grateful for everything, even things that come later. So learn to be grateful, people, and our lives, our personal lives, our lives with Hashem and with those who we love will always be changed for the better. Good morning.